The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, since the introduction of walk-in test centres, it's estimated that around 1,500 people have tested positive for COVID-19, with many new walk-in centres popping up around the country, including most recently Donegal and Cavan, areas where there's a high infection rate. What are we learning from these facilities? How are they adding to our fight against COVID? And how will our contact tracing system manage as we begin to ease restrictions? Well, we're joined by Niamh O'Byrne, HSE National Lead for Test and Trace. Niamh, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the idea of these pop-up centres was to try to encourage people in areas of high COVID to come in and get tested. How well has it worked?
So we think it's gone very well. And Pat, today we have 16 of them open. And since they've opened, we've had over 60,000 people come forward for testing and detected just over 1,960 positive cases. So in that sense, you know, what they seem to be doing is raising awareness in a local area, local politicians get involved, local organisations and the Gardaí and local social groups, and really encourage people to come forward for testing and support the effort locally to get control of the virus.
Now, looking at the median age of infection, which is 30, and three quarters are under 45, it tells us that, you know, it's the active population who are being infected or at least being detected. What sort of population cohorts are actually using the centres? Are you getting at the people you need to get at?
Yeah, so we're certainly, when we kind of envisaged them, the age group, we were really in our own minds looking at, as while it's open to everybody, but we were focused kind of on the 20 to 40 age group. And we do see that they are the vast majority of the those who come forward for testing. Over 45% are in that age group. We also noticed that the positivity is much higher in those who are younger versus those who are over 65. So if I kind of just look at the positivity of the over 65s through the walk-in testing, it's 1.8%, but it rises in younger people to over 5%. So it's that's what we were aiming to do, was to target that age group and people who are moving about, working and doing more social activities.
Now, we notice in the numbers that among primary school going children 5 to 12, the number rose last week from 350 to 390, an increase of 11%. Among 0 to 4-year-olds, a rise from 178 to 211. In 18-year-olds, a 15% increase. You know, the story out there was that young people don't get infected. They clearly do, although they may be largely asymptomatic.
Yeah, I mean, there is at the moment, you know, the amount of testing going on in young people is very high, because we, once a detected case is noted in a school, and the public health doctors will do a risk assessment and invite classmates to come forward for testing. So last week was one of the highest weeks in terms of volume. So we would have had in the national schools and secondary schools over 8,000 tests in those sectors, and around 1,200 in the childcare setting for under fives. So you certainly have a lot of testing going on in those age groups and in that setting. Now, that said, we've still maintained quite low positivity rates from those tests. So like in primary school and secondary school, it's in around the 2.4% and in childcare, just over 3% last week. So, you know, generally it does create high volume, but not necessarily very high positivity.
There's no doubt. The more you test, the more you're going to find. That is a given, I think. Now, part two of this whole process is obviously tracing. How much tracing are you able to do? And have you gleaned any information as to where the likely clusters are arising? What kinds of activities give rise to them?
Yeah, so we have at the moment 900 and just over 960, 970 staff working in contact tracing. At the moment, it's a very comfortable level of staff for the level of disease at the moment. So we're doing multiple additional things with that staff cohort, and we have a flexibility and agility to how that group respond to higher numbers of cases that may come in the future. So we started, as you know, at the end of March, asking additional questions to detected cases who didn't know the source of their investigation. So this system is not perfect. You don't find 100% of the sources of all infection, but at the moment, there's about 20% that is unknown. So we go and ask additional questions, and we trace back the 7 days and take information from individuals. So I mean, the kind of things, as again, we're really still in a level five type of restriction. So the type of things people are saying are shopping, work, transport, travel, social gatherings outside, sport outdoors, and then you go into the much smaller volumes of things like birthday parties and funerals. And what happens then for some of those possible sources, the public health doctors then will look at them and decide whether or not there's any additional testing that needs to be done, or potentially other contacts that can be located in those environments.
Now, we heard about the traveller wedding in Longford yesterday. I mean, when you hear about something like that, is there any effort made, or can you make it, or is it your role to make an effort to contact people who might be attending an event like that and say, for God's sake, will you get yourself tested?
Well, certainly, I mean, those are all in the local areas, where they would be looked after by the local public health departments, who you know, and this is an important part of public health is communication, and that is actually one of the byproducts of that's worked well with the walk-in. It's just trying to raise local awareness of the types of activities still that just don't suit COVID, and things like big parties and indoor events like gatherings after funerals or birthday parties, and they just don't suit COVID if there are people who attend it who have the virus and do spread it asymptomatically. One of the other things too is that we did notice through the walk-ins that some people are not aware of some of the symptoms because they can be very, very mild. So even though we have asymptomatic testing, they're not actually asymptomatic, because when we go and ask them about symptoms and go through the symptoms with them, about 50% of people who have been positive from the walk-ins do have symptoms. And things like a mild cough or a runny nose, or what they're saying, they didn't really kind of think, because it's so mild as it starts, that they didn't really think it, you know, they could be a COVID positive case, and then
Now,
ultimately it turned out they were.
you recently started working with Irish Water, testing wastewater in certain areas to see if there's a high level of COVID in that wastewater. I know it's early stages, but can you tell us what you might learn from that, or have learned?
That's really at its early stages. We will look at that as it comes through, and the HBSC will assess if there's something we can do with that. At the moment, most of our planning around where there are areas of prevalence and where we need to focus is coming from the tacit knowledge of the public health doctors in their areas, understanding both the levels in really small communities, but then also in understanding what's happening in the area, because they're living in the area, and kind of understanding the behaviours.
Now, finally, I should ask you about how mobile these centres are. I mean, when there is a spike somewhere, how quickly can you get one of these centres open on the ground?
You know, reasonably quickly. So we invested in 12 NAS pop-up units. So these are the kind of the tents and all the kit that go with them, and the staff that support them. So when we open up a pop-up, the actual real mobile units, so we have a mixture of mobile units, and we have then static sites, which are the ones that have always been there, opening as walk-ins. When we open them, what happens is the local community health organisation, we work with them to find a site. And the site's really important. It has to be accessible. And that's one of the key reasons when we ask people why they attend them. It's the access. So it's got to be easy and it's got to be safe from a social distancing perspective, queuing and all of that. So we work with the community health organisation and then NHS do a risk assessment on the site. So you know, we have been able to get them up in about 48 hours. That's around about the running time. Hard to do it faster because you've just got to have all those safety measures in
Yeah.
place. But generally speaking, it's quite responsive.
I'm asked by one of our Newstalk listeners, can you ask Niamh why the Wicklow Test Centre was only operating for 7 days? There's a case in my child's class, and if the centre was opened now, many family members could attend the walk-in centre, as the HSE guidelines are that the other family members can still go about their normal business, which makes no sense to me. We kept our other children home while my son waits for his test.
Yeah, I mean, the general guidelines are for close contacts, it's the close contacts themselves. So in that case, the son who has to restrict their movements, the family members do not. We would consider them casual contacts, which is the next kind of layer. And again, if you think about the school, so the likelihood of that child being positive is around 2%. So therefore, we don't restrict the movements of the people that surround the contact. Household contacts are much more likely to be positive, and that comes through in all of our data that you know we see you know up to 30% positivity in household, but much much less so in other settings.
A couple of quick questions to conclude. Will tracing testing struggle when we reopen, putting us back to square one?
I think you know since we.
We seem to have lost Niamh. That connection died anyway. Hopefully, we won't go back to square one because the vaccination levels around the country should be sufficiently high to not go back to that square one. We may go back to square two or whatever else, but hopefully, it won't be as bad as it was in the post-Christmas period.